Welcome to Sociology Sorted, your go-to revision podcast for OCR GCSE Sociology. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most important and fascinating topics on the specification, wealth. Whether you're revising for your mock or the real thing, this episode's going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam hall feeling confident. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Now, before we dive into the content, let me tell you why this topic matters. Wealth is not just about money, it's about power, it's about opportunity, it's about who gets ahead in society, and, crucially, why. The OCR mark scheme rewards candidates who can link wealth to life chances, apply sociological theory, and use real data. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to do all three. Let's begin with the single most important distinction in this entire topic, and it's one that trips up so many candidates in the exam. The difference between wealth and income. Wealth is a stock. Think of it like a lake. It's the total amount of water sitting there at any given moment. Wealth is the total value of all the assets a person owns: their property, their shares, their savings, their pension rights, any inherited assets. It's what you have accumulated over time. Income, on the other hand, is a flow. Think of it like a river. It's money coming in over a period of time. Wages, salaries, benefits, rental income, these are all forms of income. They flow in and flow out. Here's the critical exam point. A person can have a very high income but very little wealth. A young professional earning £60,000 a year but renting a flat and with no savings has high income but low wealth. Conversely, a retired person might have low income but enormous wealth in the form of a paid-off house and a large pension pot. Examiners specifically credit candidates who make this distinction clearly and explicitly. If you write "wealthy people earn a lot of money," you will lose marks. Always say, "Wealth is accumulated assets. Income is a flow of earnings." Now, within wealth itself, there's another distinction worth knowing: marketable wealth versus non-marketable wealth. Marketable wealth is assets you can sell: property, shares, savings. Non-marketable wealth includes things like occupational pension rights. You can't sell your pension, but it still represents significant financial security. This is a more sophisticated point that can push you into the higher mark bands. Right, so now we know what wealth is. Let's look at how it's distributed in the UK, because the data here is genuinely striking. According to the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, the wealthiest 10% of households in the UK own approximately 43% of all household wealth. Let that sink in. 10% of people own nearly half of everything. The bottom 50% of households, by contrast, own just 9% of total wealth. The ONS Wealth and Assets Survey is the key source here. Always name it in your exam answers. Examiners love to see you reference real named data sources. Now, what drives this inequality? This is where the theoretical perspectives come in, and this is where you can really show off your sociological thinking. Let's start with functionalism. The key theorists here are Kingsley Davis and Wilbert Moore, who published their theory of stratification in 1945. Davis and Moore argued that inequality, including wealth inequality, is not only inevitable, but actually necessary for society to function. Their argument goes like this: some roles in society are more important than others, and they require rare talents or long periods of training. To motivate the most talented people to fill these roles, society must offer greater financial rewards. So a brain surgeon earns more than a checkout worker, not because of exploitation, but because society needs to incentivize people to undertake the difficult training required. From a functionalist perspective, then, wealth is a just reward for talent, effort, and contribution. Society is essentially a meritocracy, a system where you get what you deserve based on your abilities and hard work. But here's where you need to show critical thinking. The functionalist view has serious weaknesses. It assumes that the current distribution of wealth reflects genuine merit. But what about inherited wealth? If someone is born into a wealthy family, receives a private education, and inherits property worth millions of pounds, is that a reward for their talent? Critics would say no. And this is exactly where the Marxist perspective becomes powerful. Karl Marx argued that wealth inequality is not the result of merit. It is the result of exploitation and the reproduction of class inequality. For Marx, society is divided into two fundamental classes: the bourgeoisie, who own the means of production, the factories, the land, the capital, and the proletariat, who own nothing but their own labor power and must sell it to survive. Wealth, in the Marxist view, is not earned through hard work. It is accumulated through the exploitation of workers who produce more value than they are paid for. The surplus value goes to the capitalist class as profit, which is then reinvested to generate more wealth. This is how wealth reproduces itself across generations. A key Marxist concept here is social closure, the idea that the wealthy use their power to restrict access to wealth and opportunity, keeping others out. This happens through inheritance, through elite private schooling, through social networks. The system is rigged to reproduce inequality, not to reward merit. Now let's bring in a third perspective, Weberianism. Max Weber agreed with Marx that class, defined by your economic position, matters enormously. But Weber added two further dimensions, status and party. Status refers to social prestige and honor, not just how much money you have, but how you are regarded in society. Party refers to political power and organization. The Weberian insight for wealth is crucial. Wealth is not just an economic phenomenon, it is a political one. Wealthy individuals and corporations use their economic power to influence political decisions through lobbying, through funding political parties, through owning media outlets. This gives them disproportionate power to shape the rules of the game in their favor. This is sometimes called the power elite, a concept developed by C. Wright Mills, who argued that a small group of wealthy individuals effectively control political, military, and economic institutions in capitalist societies. So to summarize the theoretical debate, functionalists say wealth inequality is justified and necessary because it motivates talent. Marxists say it is the product of exploitation and reproduces class inequality across generations. Weberians say wealth is linked to political power and status, not just economic position. Now let's talk about why wealth matters. And this is where you connect to life chances, which is absolutely essential for AO2 Marx. The concept of life chances was developed by Max Weber. It refers to the opportunities an individual has to improve their quality of life, their chances of good health, good education, good housing, and a long life. And the evidence is overwhelming that wealth dramatically shapes life chances. In terms of health, wealthier individuals live longer. According to Public Health England data, the gap in life expectancy between the richest and poorest areas of the UK is approximately 10 years for men. Wealth enables access to private health care, better nutrition, less stressful living conditions, and safer housing. In terms of education, wealth enables access to private schooling, where fees can exceed £40,000 per year, and to private tutoring. Research by the Sutton Trust found that privately educated students are significantly overrepresented at elite universities like Oxford and Cambridge, which in turn leads to higher earning careers. This is what sociologists call the cycle of privilege. In terms of housing, wealth enables home ownership, which itself generates further wealth through rising property values. Those who cannot afford to buy are trapped in the private rental sector, paying high rents that prevent them from saving and accumulating assets of their own. And in the context of the current cost of living crisis, which is a brilliant contemporary example to use in your exam, the impact of wealth inequality is starker than ever. Those with savings and assets have a financial buffer. Those without wealth have been hit hardest by rising food prices, energy bills, and rents. This illustrates the difference between absolute poverty, lacking the basic necessities of life, and relative poverty, being unable to afford the standard of living considered normal in your society. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes, because this is where marks are won and lost. Common mistake number one, conflating income and wealth. I cannot stress this enough. If a question asks about wealth, do not write about wages or salaries unless you are explicitly contrasting them. Always define wealth as accumulated assets at the start of your answer. Common mistake number two, making normative assertions without theoretical backing. Saying it's unfair that some people are so much wealthier than others will not earn you marks. You need to say, from a Marxist perspective, this inequality is the result of exploitation and the reproduction of class advantage through inheritance. Theory first, always. Common mistake number three, failing to critique meritocracy. If you present the functionalist view, you must also challenge it. Ask, does inherited wealth reflect merit? Does private education give some children an unfair advantage? The Mark scheme rewards candidates who evaluate, not just describe. For 24 Mark extended writing questions, your conclusion must provide a definitive judgment. Don't sit on the fence. Say something like, overall, the evidence suggests that wealth inequality in the UK is better explained by the Marxist emphasis on inheritance and social closure than by the functionalist concept of meritocracy. given that a significant proportion of the wealthiest individuals in the UK have inherited rather than earned their wealth. For command words, describe means give two developed features with supporting detail. Explain means give reasons with sociological evidence. Evaluate, or how far do you agree, means balanced argument, counterargument, and a clear judgment. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 5 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the difference between wealth and income? Wealth is a stock of accumulated assets. Income is a flow of money received over time. Question two, according to the ONS, what percentage of UK household wealth is owned by the top 10%? Approximately 43%. Question three, which two sociologists developed the functionalist theory of stratification in 1945? Kingsley Davis and Wilbert Moore. Question four, what is social closure? The process by which the wealthy restrict access to wealth and opportunity to maintain their privileged position? Question five, what concept did Weber use to describe the opportunities individuals have to improve their quality of life? Life chances. Question six, what is the difference between marketable and non-marketable wealth? Marketable wealth can be sold, such as property and shares. Non-marketable wealth cannot be sold, such as pension rights. How did you do? If you got all six, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Wealth is a stock of accumulated assets, property, shares, savings, pension rights. Income is a flow. Never confuse them. The top 10% of UK households own 43% of all wealth, according to the ONS Wealth and Assets Survey. Functionalists, Davis and Moore, argue wealth inequality is necessary to motivate talent in a meritocratic society. Marxists argue it is the product of exploitation and inheritance. Weberians link wealth to political power and status. Wealth shapes life, chances in health, education, and housing. Always make these links explicit in your exam answers. Critique meritocracy. Reference inheritance. Use the cost of living crisis as a contemporary example. And always end extended answers with a clear, definitive judgment. That's it for today's episode of Sociology Sorted. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.